Bills sideline reporter and host at WGR 550 in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. It's been a very interesting long weekend.
It's been a very interesting long decade, is what it's been in Buffalo. I mean,
working on two of them, by the way.
I understand. So, I mean, everything is going according to plan, right? I mean, the guys that plan for the draft are picking their players. They pick all their players, and then they get fired. And so, I mean, this is crazy, right? It's from outside looking in. I can't imagine what it's like from inside looking in.
I know that that's the perception, but it's actually not in the football world. In the football world, you actually want your scouts and your scouting staff to finish the work they put in for all of their college season, because their season isn't in the same calendar as the NFL season. See, you fire coaches after the season's over, but your scouts basically have to work through April, because they're the ones that put in all of the prep time and the film work and all that for their college guys and have to do all the interviews and stuff. So it's not totally uncommon. Now, yes, general managers oftentimes get fired at the end of a season, but scouts, you can't do that. All that intel. Now, imagine if you fire all those people in January. Basically, all of their work for all of their college scouts goes out the window into another organization before the draft. And that's why you don't do it. That's why you wait until after the draft, so that they can finish up the job they do for you. So I understand from the outside looking in, but to be honest with you guys, in the football world, that's when you're supposed to fire all those people.
All right, but you know what? If these guys aren't trustworthy and don't have the information that you want them to have, good on them to carry this misinformation to another organization. And I don't know, there's guys that do better in the mock draft than the Buffalo, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, I guess so, but I'm just saying it's not abnormal to do that. In fact, every single year in every organization, you will see a scouting type of turnover, changeover, not like this, of course, but at this time of year. Once that work is done, because then they basically don't even begin until next year. So it's not uncommon. I think the Doug Whaley thing, though, you could definitely make the argument that maybe he should have gone with Rex Ryan, and you could put somebody else in charge of all those scouts leading up to all the pre-draft process and stuff like that. And, you know, there were rumors for months that this was happening. But make no mistake, the reason why this is happening and that happened, this is Sean McDermott's team now. He is the guy that's going to be in charge, and he has had a major influence on Terry Pegula. And you referenced that press conference over Tim Murray's firing. All the words that he said about what he's looking for in a Sabres general manager completely have an influence of what he has seen from his head football coach. He wants the same person, the same type of personality in both hockey and football now after what he's seen from Sean McDermott.
Sal Capaccio, WGR 550 in Buffalo, our guest. And that's the big thing, is that in the NFL, not that the GM is a vital part, but most fans, you don't know who Andy Reid's GM is in Kansas City. We don't talk about the Patriots GM. We only know the Cowboys GM because it's the owner. So that said, they need someone that McDermott syncs up with, for lack of a better term, don't they? And that's, there is that slight level of continued dysfunction, isn't there? Because it's almost, you don't necessarily want a GM that McDermott has to approve of, but there has to be some synchronicity between the two. And it's not like the GM is picking the coach. The coach is already here, and that part is it's very usual in baseball and hockey, not so much in football.
I agree, but I think in this situation, you're going to get somebody that Sean McDermott is totally on board with.
And yeah.
It might even have a say in. I mean, I don't know, and, you know, Terry Pegula said they're going to find the right person, and you're right. I don't think that you're going to have your head coach handpick that person, but I can almost guarantee you the person is going to have some tie to Sean McDermott and some knowledge base already with Sean McDermott. We're already hearing Brandon Bean, the assistant general manager of the Carolina Panthers, where Sean McDermott was before he came to Buffalo. They already have a pre-existing relationship. I guarantee you're going to hear people's names connected to the Andy Reid tree, because that is Sean McDermott's mentor. That's who he was with for many years in Philadelphia. So you're going to get somebody here who Sean McDermott knows and Sean McDermott can trust.
When Terry Pegula came in as an owner of one of the franchises, he was seen as a savior, obviously, and now owning both franchises and things going, you know, a little bizarre-like. I wonder, what's the view of the fans as far as their owners? Because if he walked into an arena right now and he stood up, would they boo this guy, or do they have confidence that he's eventually going to get this right?
Most fans are still very appreciative of, you know, what this family has done and is continuing to do. I mean, if you walk in downtown Buffalo, oh my goodness, guys, you know, 5 years ago there was dirt roads and parking lots, and now, oh my gosh, it's a huge epicenter of sports downtown. It's crazy what they've done. And, you know, that's a lot on the family. There's new buildings all the time. There's new ideas all the time coming from them. And, yes, he kept them here in Buffalo. However, you know, there is a sentiment, of course, that, you know, people are frustrated that you have an ownership group here is still basically learning on the job. And that's okay, I think, in any industry that you're always going to have a learning curve. But it's taking a lot longer than people think. And some people keep telling you, well, you know, they're amateurs who don't know what they're doing. And look, I think they've made missteps. There's no doubt about it. But in anything that you do in life, you're going to have to learn from your mistakes. And that's what they're trying to do right now. And I think that when people say, look at this situation, it's still dysfunctional, I actually think what they're doing here in the last couple of changes is a good change of course of direction, because when Terry Pegula came in, he didn't want to fire anybody. He said, I'm not doing that. I'm keeping Darcy. I'm keeping Lindy, all that kind of stuff. Now he's realized as sports owners, you have to evolve and you have to change if things aren't going well. And that's what he's willing to do. It's not ideal, but, you know, hopefully at some point they get it right.
And with Rex, I think they're more ahead than where they were when they first hired Rex. I wasn't on board with Rex because I saw him as a populist. I saw him as a guy that didn't fit the market. I know your market, and your market likes honest, hard work, not a lot of bluster. I mean, we had Brian Burke as a GM here. No matter what people think of Toronto, it didn't pass the smell test. People want honesty among their executives and bluntness. And that's what I'm seeing already from Sean McDermott that Sal, I never got from Rex Ryan.
100%. Listen, Terry Pegula's biggest feelings so far were A, having someone else hire Tim Murray. He said that. And that was Pat LaFontaine. And he said he regrets that. But B, him falling for Rex Ryan's shtick. Look, that was him. That was him. He wanted him. Doug Whaley didn't even want Rex Ryan.
No.
And now Doug Whaley's even paying for it. But that is exactly right. When he got into a room and he was wowed and he was awed by everything Rex Ryan was, and I think that's part of the evolution. That's part of evolving and growing into the role and saying, look, I can't do that. I have to hire real football people and real hockey people, not just people who want to tell me what I want to hear.
All right, so we got about a minute and change. Do you got a feeling as to who's going to end up running that hockey team?
You know, I keep hearing Jason Botterill's name out of Pittsburgh, I think, is a candidate. There are several different people throughout. I think I'm trying to think of one of the names that escapes me. I don't exactly have names pinned down. No, that was one of them I had heard. Somebody from the Devils organization, I believe, was somebody that they have been targeting. But there are definitely names on the list. And by the way, Terry Pegula said that he is getting close. I would not be surprised if we hear something within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Give us 30 seconds on does the Doug Whaley move. It really has no impact on Tyrod Taylor, but clearly for Taylor, you know, McDermott either has him on a short leash. It feels a little bit obviously like an arranged marriage, but it also feels like a scenario where there may not be a marriage a year from now based on how he plays. And there's obviously huge financial implications because they've already redone his deal.
Well, what's ironic is Doug Whaley did not want Tyrod Taylor. He wanted to move on. Sean McDermott was absolutely willing to have Tyrod Taylor. He just wanted him at a reduced price because he wants him to be, I believe, his bridge quarterback. He wants to try and win this year, have his cake and eat it too. And that's why they traded for that first-round pick next year, guys. Make no mistake. They traded for that first-round pick next year because they're going to target a quarterback in a loaded quarterback class, and now they have more ammunition. And I think Sean McDermott wants to try and win this year with Tyrod and then get that franchise quarterback in next year in the draft.
All right, Sal Capaccio, thank you very much. At the very least, you're going to be busy, my friend.
I am, absolutely. Thanks, guys.